If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat lost to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same if it works. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, do you want to live with that the rest of your life?
No.
Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's got to start here.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
This Irish Billy's trying to record us, B, without us knowing. Real devious.
Yo, he likes doing that shit.
Mm-hmm.
36.
Knock him out the box, 36.
36. In your motherfucking area.
The Alexander Usyk, Anthony Joshua 2.
The Big Show.
We will be delving into, we will be deep diving into that. We'll get some news and notes first.
We'll it's kind of some big news.
A lot of stuff going on, man.
Some big snooze.
As you and I always say, it's a sport of waves. Things come in waves. We'll be like, nothing's going on.
Right.
Da, 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 and then we'll get hit with the, you know. So let's start off with, I know what you're going to say, and then I want to talk about this. I know what your response is going to be, but I want to test it.
Mm-hmm.
So Adrian Broner has withdrawn from Saturday's fight with Omar Figueroa Jr., citing his mental health.
Unspecified mental health. Just a shoot it in the air. Mental health.
Right? Sergey Lipinets, who can fight. His only two losses are to real guys, was to a prime Mikey Garcia and
Boots.
To Boots Ennis, who you and I think is the future of the sport, not just the division. So guy can fight, tough as nails, stepping in on 5 days' notice, which to me, before I get your reaction to all of this mess, B, I'd like to say that stepping in on 5 days' notice says to me that Broner is now at a point in his career, life, personal life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that this guy was waiting for this call.
Mm.
That's my assessment of it.
Figgy said that, I believe in a tweet or somewhere on his social media, Figueroa said, we had plans in place because we had a feeling he was going to do this. And
well,
then
Figueroa cut a whole program on him.
Good.
That was crazy. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you sent it to me.
So,
I agree with him.
Okay. So, all right. So, you are. Is it because you believe he's using this as a crutch?
I don't think it's okay. So, it's a two-part answer. One, the first answer to the question you didn't ask was, do I think that Adrian Broner suffers from some sort of mental illness? The answer to that is yes.
Well, I didn't ask it because I think we established it
right
in over the course of our show, so, of our podcast.
You can suffer from mental illness and still be an irresponsible fucking asshole.
Correct.
So it's not mutually exclusive.
There's not mutually exclusive things where you behave a certain way. And when you get pressed on that behavior, you use mental illness as the
right.
crutch.
So he was abusive in the whole promotion leading up to this. He did a horrible, nasty, mean-spirited interview with Brian Custer, sitting in front of his trainer, and his trainer just looked mortified and embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this whole, like, you ain't with me, you ain't with me, you ain't with me, you know, fuck you too. fuck you too. All right, fuck you too. No, you're a selfish piece of garbage. Okay, something's wrong with you, but you're a selfish piece of garbage. You're proving it. This is your job. You are getting paid, I don't know how much money, but it's more than most people make in a year, some people in a lifetime. I understand the sport is difficult, but you agreed to the terms. Do your job. It's a job. So Figueroa says, we figured this would happen. I'm sure they put something in place, especially if he can make weight or make the fight comfortably in 5 days. Lipin, yes. Figueroa went on to admit or say that he too suffers from mental health issues. He doesn't use it as a crutch. Coincidentally, Figueroa invited Adrian Broner, I believe a week ago, to some sort of symposium on mental health awareness, because Adrian Broner has claimed that he suffers from mental health. Figueroa too suffers from mental health issues, and Figueroa wanted to bring awareness to it and bring his opponent with him and say, hey, look, we are two guys that do suffer from, you know, whatever he was going to say.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Figueroa seems like a proactive person trying to come to grips with whatever he's got to come to grips with and bring awareness to it and possibly help other people. Broner, to me, is using it as a crutch. He's not the only one. Using it, yes, in this circumstance as a crutch. And I say, like I always say, don't book him anymore, but they will. He'll get a fight again.
Absolutely he will. For what it's worth, guys, you know, to our loyal listeners, I think this is a better fight.
Agreed. I think Lipin Yetz is going to win. For the record, picking Lipin Yetz.
Yeah, all right.
Decision.
We have to, when it's time to talk about the fights this weekend,
yeah,
I'll give mine then.
So what do you think, Vinny?
It's tricky when it's clear that he does, that this is a reality for him. I believe that as the walls were closing in, meaning the fight was coming up, he was either nowhere near weight, looked and felt like shit, or a little from column A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm. He's also not in his 20s anymore. You know,
correct.
Things start to change. Long
correct.
Layoffs, etc.
Correct. There's a lot of, I'm not surprised. That's the overwhelming sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly surprised at I'm pulling out of this fight. Mm. Antics, coming in overweight, all of that, I'm used to.
And getting excused for it, and the fight's still going on.
Right,
the show must
and
go
he,
on.
And he pays this whatever to...
Doesn't care.
To Figueroa and doesn't right. care and pays him for not coming in. I mean, he's got 100 kids.
Right.
He needs money.
He should have pulled out sooner.
He should have pulled... Well done. This close says to me that he's using the mental illness thing as a crutch. We both agreed that he has mental health issues. This quickly says to me that it wasn't coming together. We already talked about, you've said ad nauseum, the way you gauge a guy being done is his inability to pull the trigger. And a Broner that moved his hands was a very talented, dangerous guy. Mm-hmm. And he said bye-bye a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, he'll throw a 5-6 punch combination, still be fast, still get off, and then just not do it again. You know? Like you said, he's not in his 20s anymore. He's still in his early 30s, which is crazy to say. There's still time. You know, is there time for him to get it together and be elite at 47? And, you know,
I don't think he'll ever. I think this is Bennett. We've known it.
He again,
on the flip side of things, he's whether he knows it or not, he's a good self-promoter. He promotes the card by his antics. He's still a popular name due to his association with Floyd. And I mean, look, man, some of these fights that we talk about are 10-year, decade old already. I mean, it's in a What Have You Done For Me Lately sport. It's incredible because he's done nothing for anybody lately. And he's
for
still
a long time.
Pretty high profile booking.
And for what it's worth, before we move on, you already said it. I'm just going to end up by saying it. Unless something horrible happens, which we are not hoping happens. You know, we want him to get it together. He will absolutely be fighting again.
Sure.
You know, unless something bad happens. Moving on, Tyson Fury retires again. Official retirement.
Air quotes.
Yeah, air quotes. So the ring didn't strip him of the lineal, you know,
right,
championship.
Which was widely circulated, correct?
Correct. So what happened was, following the announcement, Ring contacted him to see if he was willing to vacate.
Right.
He said yes. So this card, this episode that is being dedicated to this fight will be for the Ring Magazine Heavyweight Championship of the World.
Excellent. Another little accoutrement to this.
Yes. To just add to a fight you and I are already excited about.
Right.
For what it's worth, the WBC gave him 14 days. I don't understand.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into a WBC thing. No,
I don't want to get into a Tyson Fury. This, to me, also oozes all eyes aren't on me. I got to make some news somehow.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is unfortunate. Because, you know, at times will be very likable, you know.
Right. And I said to you privately, and I don't like to keep my opinions from our fans and from the show. I think he's using again. I think he's drinking again. I think there was an issue in France. He got in a fight with a cab driver. They had it on video a few months back. I think he bum rushed the broadcast for ESPN, correct? And we were texting like, holy shit, he's loaded.
Yeah, what's happening here? You know what I mean? And what the tricky part with that kind of stuff, man, is like someone like him who has been outspoken about their mental health issues.
Right.
It's like no matter what is happening, it's not good. Is this guy having like a bipolar episode?
Right. Is he high? Is it a high? You know, and now he's in a low.
Right. But none of it's good. You know,
if
he was sober but having a psychotic break, that's just as bad.
Right.
Because he's not regulating. I mean, you know, the day after you and I spoke, and I told you, know, of course it's speculation. We don't want to get sued for libel. You know what we're saying?
Right.
And I agreed with you, like the next day, his wife was filming him and whatever he was in, his Lambo, whatever it was, he looked good. You know, he was obviously, he was behind the wheel of a car. He was lucid. You know, he looked and sounded good. It's more you and I mean, to even say out loud, you and I don't believe it is insulting to each of our intelligence. You know what I mean? I do want to get into what I don't want to jump over it. The thing that I want to talk about. Moving on, Eddie Hearn said that he reached out to Deontay Wilder and Shelley Finkel, didn't hear back. This is odd, B. I want to bring up something that I can't remember having heard about before. And I want you to tell me if I'm bugging. Reached out to Shelley Finkel, got no reply, asked about a potential fight with Joshua. Hearn said, I've got so much money for Wilder in an offer, but they never come back to me. I want to ask you a question here. Have you ever heard of a guy coming off a huge loss going into a fight where he is the dog and they're thinking ahead? I can't remember that. Not. Of course I hear about top tier guys, whether it's Bud, whether it's Spence, fighting a guy who we assume he's going to win, talking about when are you going to fight each other. Blah, blah, blah. And the guy says, I'm not going to look past him, but have you ever seen a guy coming off an L, fairly one-sided?
Yeah.
But and now you're going into a rematch with a guy that you lost a fairly one-sided loss to, and you're looking past that. I can't look, man. My memory is pretty good when it comes to things like this.
It seems strange that Joshua's team is. Why would they make that announcement now? Why would that come up now? It seems strange to me. No, distracting.
The whole thing seems strange to me, if I'm being honest.
Is it that he's saying, the only thing I think of is we could get Wilder Joshua in the UK and it would do crazy numbers here because people are dying to see, you know, the gate would be wild, you know.
The only answer I have to the question I'm posing.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So you answer me and tell me if you agree. Is that they see AJ as being such a star there that even another L to Usyk.
Right. Wouldn't matter.
Wouldn't matter.
I don't think it does matter.
Then that's the answer. Then it you're doesn't. Answering
he's,
it for me.
And Eddie's all in with AJ, bro.
He is. I just can't see. Again, we're not at the point of the show where it's going to dominate this show.
Right.
Where we're breaking that fight down. But. There are ways where he can lose twice in a row where I no longer see him as what
dangerous, right? Or a contender, so, or he's got to work his way back up.
Yeah, so to still be there seems crazy to me.
Jog my memory, and I'm just going back in time now. You know, we talk about Nigel Benn and Chris Eubank, you know, the super middleweight battles in the 90s.
Yeah.
Those guys packed them out domestically. You know what I mean? They weren't huge fights here.
They weren't. And without the internet and social media, guys like us were really kind of the only you had to
really follow the sport.
You had to have subscriptions to every magazine.
Right. All
every
those guys,
newsletter.
Steve Collins. You know, Nigel Benn, Chris Eubank, even in the beginning, Joe Calzaghe, until he fought Jeff Lacy, no one knew who the fuck he was.
Even Wayne McCullough, the Pocket Rocket, even though, again, it's a look, we're not saying there wasn't the internet when these guys were around.
There weren't.
When you're talking about Nigel Benn,
there was like,
you're talking about those guys? No.
Not anywhere near the capacity that it was now. And even Calzaghe, what was his debut? 96? I think he fought.
I think before that.
I think he fought. He fought Eubank in like 97, right?
Yeah.
So, there was no way to figure out who the fuck those guys were fighting. You know, and again, Darius Mikuláševski.
Darren Mikuláševski, You know, I mean.
There's plenty of European guys that were quote unquote good. I think.
Joe
I don't know.
Turned pro in 93.
Okay.
Calzaghe. So. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, the point I'm making is.
Yeah, sorry.
There's shit that, like, you know, domestic level guys that, they're better fans than we are. They're less fickle than we are. We're fickle here in the States.
Well, you know? There's also a little bit of their hand is forced.
I think if
you
they
know,
get,
you're talking about a country with 350 million people here, know, and it's like, you know, their countries are the size of our states.
Yeah.
So it becomes very, again, we've talked about tribalism a million times.
Right. Usually,
at least once a show, it comes
There's patriotism
up.
There with those guys. Yes. And if they can get if they can get Wilder on British soil to fight their favorite son, then it would be massive, you know, especially
again, I don't want to jump ahead because it's not good for the show, but just for the sake, you think this doesn't go well this week? He's still the favorite son?
Yes. They love him.
I mean, there's some people that look, man, if he were to pull it off,
he's massive. He's massive.
If he would have, it's terrible. If he would have,
perfect. Master of accents.
If he wins,
episode 36,
you're looking at, look, Lennox lost to two guys, mopped them both in the rematch.
Right.
It's been said.
You're saying that how can they look past this? If he loses, is this still a big fight? AJ Wilder.
I mean, it's not to me, but you're telling me it is. I was just about to say something. It's looked at as,
dude, George Groves and fucking Carl Froch's rematch was big.
Very true. Very true.
And no one here gave a fuck about that.
Look, when you talk about this sport to anybody, particularly fighters, they'll talk about how unforgiving it is. Ironically, I think it may be the most forgiving sport. You're one win away from being back in the good graces of the boxing community. Yeah, I mean, if you want to go that way, yeah, but I'm even talking about the entire community, the global boxing community. I mean, there's guys who have lost 2-3 in a row, been written off, get brought in as an opponent, upset that guy and go on a run and everything.
Dude, Adrian Broner was about to headline a fucking card this weekend on Showtime.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You talk to people and it's talk about, it's an unforgiving sport. And I'm like, actually, it's the most forgiving.
I don't disagree with you there. In terms of that, I think that's a really good point. How many chances did a guy like Tapia get? Tyson, for Christ's sake. How many?
This Gabe Rosado is on the Golovkin card. Did we even talk about that on air?
No.
After we said, ha, 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 we've said three times that we will never see this guy again, and we saw him three more times. Then after the last loss, we actually said, no more ha, ha, ha. We have finally seen the last of him. And I get that fucking thing and send it to you. And
Derek Chisora was in talks for a fight with Tyson Fury.
They have the same
manager.
I just don't bring heavyweights into it because it's so different. The same reason we don't put heavyweights on our pound for pound list, because I think you're never dead. And I think we could see Dominic Brazil again. Right. It's like, I just don't, they're not.
If they have a wheelbarrow and those guys can fit in it, they'll fucking bring them out.
That's just my opinion, that I don't count heavyweights.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Hellenius is about to get a huge fight.
Yeah, that's the next in line.
Right.
So, look, speaking of Wilder and that weird Joshua statement from Eddie Hearn regarding Finkel and Wilder, which is very bizarre. Speaking of him, Wilder is back. He's coming back. Robert Hellenius, Deontay Wilder, October 15th at Barclays. B will probably be there causing problems. It might be his triumphant return to the Barclays.
Well, two reasons. One, if they shape an undercard, maybe. I don't think I'm going to go for that. If that's
no.
My ticket broker got rehired, so
that's
shouts to him.
Good.
And he was trying to do it on his own for a while, and Barclays knew what they were missing and brought him back. And I'm not going to say his name on air, but he's a good dude. He does a great job. Tops in hospitality over there. Right. You'll meet him, Ben, when we go to a fight. He'll take care of us.
Bet.
Anyway.
This is interesting, actually. This is interesting. So We were that Juan Estrada, Josh Franco fight. I thought when and if it happened was going to be good. That's a nice fight.
Yeah.
WBA stripped Estrada because he's going to face Chocolatito in the trilogy in December rather than
risk it with Josh Franco.
Risk it with Josh Franco.
Who's Bam Bam's cousin.
Yes. Jesse Look, Bam's Estrada, brother. Chocolatito 3, it's agreed, December. That's what Carlos Blandon, that's Chocolatito's manager. So who better to hear from? Strangely enough, this is odd. Estrada is taking a fight before then. That's called a tune-up, I guess, because he's been out. What was he, sick or hurt? Was the COVID?
He had the corvitis.
He had the corvitis.
Yeah.
So
real bad, I mean, too, apparently.
Well, here's the thing, B. We know that tune-up fights can mean a look.
Did they mention the opponent?
No, that's why I'm getting into this with you. Because we know that when someone takes a tune-up to just the average fan, a casual fan, that means what it means. But you and I know there's a sliding scale there.
Sure.
There can be a tough tune-up. And you're like, well, that contradicts itself in and of itself. And it's like, no, this guy's on the better end of a tune-up.
Yeah.
Than a dude who you're like, I don't even know if I can get a couple of rounds out of this guy.
Right, right.
You know, so that's a tricky thing there, because you want to get some rounds because of the inactivity.
We'll see a cab driver.
But you don't want to. Yeah. But then when you see the cab driver, he's going to get him out of there. And,
right.
You know, 90 seconds or something. And then it's like, well, why did you do that? I guess for the camp.
The camp. You do it for the exposure and you do it for a small payday.
Yeah.
You do it for like the gate.
Yeah. And to cut the promo at the end
in
Spanish. Yo, the trilogy's coming in December.
Right.
Lastly, in regard to news and notes, we spoke about Ray Vargas winning over Mark McSayo. And I had mentioned to you, hey, Ray Vargas is saying maybe Santa Cruz. And we were like, yeah, maybe there's something there. So Leo Santa Cruz versus Lee Wood has been agreed to.
Okay.
For the WBA Featherweight World Title.
That's the guy who beat McConlin.
Yes. So purse bids have been canceled. That's done.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what we think about that. I don't. That's all we know right now.
I wonder if he's going to go over there.
I do too. I do too. He's done it before.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
You and I have the same exact feelings about Santa Cruz. His best days are past him. He threw punches in bunches when he was small. He could be exciting. With each weight class he moved up, he was less exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I found him to be, I'm getting into this thing where it looks like I don't know what I'm talking about because I have him going so far back. When you talk about Brona now, and he's the butt of people's jokes, and I go, I said on air at one point he was in my top 10. I'm exposing myself for ridicule. I didn't have, look, I'm not saying I had Leo Santa Cruz in my top 10 pound for pound, but I had him as must-watch TV.
Yeah, no, he was fun.
He threw tons of punches. He was always in good scraps.
Yeah.
And that's long gone. I'm not talking about
that's more than half a decade ago.
Yes, more.
So you're talking the Carl Frampton fights. That was 2016, that fight.
Look, they were good, but I'm talking about when he was fighting guys that didn't really have big names, but were sturdy guys.
Yeah, and he was just
before names that were just punches and bunches, nonstop action, just an action guy. Me and my brother, my brother.
He was fun.
My brother is a casual fan. I don't know if this contradicts. He's casual, but he loves boxing. Mm. But he's not like me and you where we're watching like the Romanian broadcast of some contender.
Right.
And
right.
He was like, yeah, yo, when that kid fights, come over.
Come over, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to watch that kid. He's fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, we don't know the dates. We don't know where it went. So, guys, none of that stuff. In news and notes, so we start giving predictions yet for you because That's what we do, you know, the week of. That's what these episodes are for. That's it with news and notes. Fight reviews.
Okay.
The returning Teofimo Lopez versus a guy named Pedro Campa. B's prediction was a fourth round stoppage. Mine was a sixth round stoppage. It was stopped in the seventh.
Seventh.
Go ahead, B. Thoughts?
I don't think much of Campa. No one thinks much of Campa. If you look at his record, it was a very inflated record.
But before you go on, let me ask something of you.
Okay.
Were you okay with him as the opponent for this kid's first comeback?
We're talking about tune-ups. We just got done talking about tune-ups.
First loss and coming up 5 pounds. And again, guys, it's not hyperbole. Another guy that was going through a lot. I'm not going to say mental illness, but certainly a lot. He's not addressing it specifically, whether it's been a divorce, but a separation from the girl that he has a very young child with, constant issues with his dad, you know, flip-flopping. They're best buddies, then they're arguing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So
if you guys follow me on Twitter, I went off during the fight. He is, because it needs to be spoken about. Lopez unlikable person.
Very unlikable. And it is not a guy trying to be a heel to get hate.
No.
Him as himself talking to Mark Kriegel, who he likes, and Mark Kriegel likes him. He is an unlikable
motherfucker. I don't know how much Mark Kriegel likes these two after this last interview. He was at the panel saying how bizarre it was to interview them this time around and how he felt that they were being disingenuous about saying we only sparred for 2 weeks leading up to this.
Well, everyone had something to say about that on the panel, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed
them just being like full of shit.
Well, that he's a top ranked darling. And, you know, you were in TV many years and you know how that works. You know, there's homers, as they like to say in other sports.
Sure.
Whether we like to admit it or not, whether they like to admit it or not, it has to be done to a degree until someone starts disrespecting the sport or disrespecting you. So I'm sorry to go off on a tangent to the right. Before I kick it back to you, his father jumping in on that one picture dead in the middle.
Dude, it was just.
It's just. So
I tweeted, I said, how on brand for Teofimo Lopez Sr.
To take
his son's moment like that.
Yes.
Fuck this guy, dude. Top rank, I don't know. Whatever.
Back to my questions to you. Are you okay with this coming off his first loss? Injuries. You know, they said he could have died in that fight. And his first fight moving up a division. You're okay with a soft touch.
I don't want to sound cynical.
Go ahead.
I'm going to come off as cynical.
Do it.
I think that's a bit of an exaggeration. Anybody can die in any fight. I understand that. This torn esophagus thing.
Pardon. So I wasn't saying I believe it. I know the story. I
believe that there is a torn esophagus? Sure. Do I believe that he would have passed a physical? They give him a fucking physical, dude. Like, it's a pretty.
There's rigorous testing to be able to be a professional fighter. It's rigorous.
So when he says, oh, this doctor, unnamed doctor,
mm-hmm.
said, I don't know how you live through that. Mm-hmm. It just. And then, of course, he goes into his. I won that fight. The referee thought I won that fight. That's why he raised my hand first. No, dickhead. That's not why he raised your hand first. It was a mistake. It happened. It's not why he raised your fucking hand first. No one thought you won that fight. You didn't win.
It wasn't close.
No. So just knock it off. You almost knocked him out. Almost.
Look, man, guys with late power, guys who are losing and knock someone down late, always get a little bit of my respect, you know? Yeah.
Oh, he has heart. I look, he's he is delusional. He is unlikable. He's ungracious. He has no humility. He's not someone I'm going to root for. I'm not going to root against him because I don't necessarily do that. But he's hard to watch. He's hard to sit through an interview. He gives me douche chills. I get embarrassed for him.
Yes, you want to cover your face,
right?
For
and
him,
I obviously we know why, because when they cut to the father, it's so Kriegel asked a good question, and I think Kriegel's gotten a little, you know, a little full of the whole father-son relationship thing where they're overdoing it because it's come on.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, why, if you knew your son was not in good shape, why would you send him out there for the fight? And he never would have talked to me again.
Yeah.
What? Even Kriegel was like, what? Well, that doesn't even make sense to me. What do you mean? Reschedule the fucking fight. He's sick. Whatever the, you know, whatever the fucking case is. I don't know. I'm just, you know what, man? He tried to pull the okey-doke on Top Rank. He tried to, right? That fight was supposed to go to Triller or whatever.
Triller.
They fumbled it. He got COVID, wound up back on Top Rank. He loses. A lot of distractions in that camp. A lot of problems. Mm-hmm. A lot of start and stop camps.
Mm-hmm.
They acted unprofessional towards Kambosos' father. They tried to run up on him prior to the fight. Kambosos' father didn't back down. He's like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. And made that bozo senior look like a bigger bozo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the problem starts and stops with senior. Sure. He looked good. His reflexes were there. He looked sharp. He's got a great jab. He doesn't use enough. I'd like to see him hold his guard a little higher. He's very athletic. Again, we're talking about the opponent here. This was an opponent he was supposed to look good against, and he did that. Stopped him in the eighth. 5 pounds up, like you said. So, all in all, B outing, as far as I'm concerned. That's if I'm going to grade it on a, you know, for A being the best, F being the worst, I give him a B. He goes ahead then and calls out the whole division and blah, 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 all the other shit I don't care about. Fight a top five guy. Let's see how it goes.
They say there's a first for everything.
Right.
For the first time in 36 episodes, I could not disagree more.
With me?
Yes.
Okay, good.
There's a lot of stuff you and I blame on Roy and Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Freakishly athletic guys.
Mm-hmm.
The twitches that you can't manufacture. And guys who think they have that who don't.
Uh-huh.
He's one of them. I thought he looked pedestrian against the guy he was supposed to obliterate. He got touched up a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I said. He's got a lot of defensive holes. His defense is not good.
Had he been fighting a guy who could crack? I don't know how that would have looked. This Pedro Campos, tough kid.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go there to lay down.
Mm-mm.
He was brought into, but he didn't get the memo. He didn't quit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
the dancing and the switching southpaw, switching back without throwing any shots, the squaring up, it's all the trickle-down effect of guys who think they're the caliber of Roy and Floyd athletically. I'm not talking about boxing or its fundamentals. I'm talking about that natural athletic ability, the freakishness that you can't, that there is no teaching or training it, no matter how hard or often you train. 7 rounds with a guy that nobody knows.
Uh-huh.
Don't
forget, Ben, he didn't spar in camp, so.
I give him a a C.
Okay.
There's probably listeners saying, how does someone go in there, win most of the rounds? Could you give Campa one or two? Probably even not two. There might be one in there.
Some
where
pity.
He did all right.
Yeah.
How do you say that? This guy went in there, he dominated, and he stopped the guy in seven. I didn't see a special guy in there. I didn't see an elite guy in there. When you build this, the resurrection of the takeover, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're a big puncher at 35 where you were huge. I don't know, man. I don't know.
We'll see what happens. They're calling for, if you follow him, I said Regis Prograin, Josh Taylor.
I love a Regis Prograin fight and he wins. Regis Prograin beats him. I don't know where Josh Taylor is at. It looks like they're doing the Catterall remix and I don't rematch. I don't know.
I like that.
And I don't know where they're doing it at 40 or 47. Mm. He said he's done. I can't do it anymore.
Okay.
I can't do it anymore. So is that guy Catterall coming up to 47 just for that rematch? I don't know. But it appears that Josh Taylor, but right now, is caught up with Catterall from what I'm hearing.
Uh-huh.
So who's out there? The name that jumps into my head is the same name that jumps into your head. And that's Regis Prograin. He had that weird fight in the Middle East. So he's been active. You know what I mean? Been active recently. I don't mean
Regis Prograin should do what he can to get that fight.
Yeah, he's been
he needs that fight if he wants agreed. To, you know, stay relevant.
Agreed.
All right.
Xander Zayas, Elias Espadas on the undercard. Look, people are jumping off as quickly as possible of the Edgar Berlanga train.
Mm-hmm.
They're smart to do so. With that, this 19-year-old kid from the island, it is now being put on him to be the next. It's always the next. It's Wilfredo Benitez. It's Juanma Lopez. Yeah. It's Tito Trinidad. It's Miguel Cotto. It was Felix Verdejo. A series of things happened to stop that in ring and out of ring.
Mm-hmm.
But Langa is, in my opinion, it's a matter of time before he gets sparked
next
out.
Next one or two fights.
Yes. Because what is happening now, guys, is there's no way to go. You go backwards, people will murder you.
Right.
You go sideways, people will murder you. You step it up.
Right.
He's going to get parked. So what they can do, and this is what B talks about a lot, about matchmakers and matchmaking and why they're paid a lot to do that.
Yep.
What you can do is you can put him in with a guy that's good but can't break an egg. That way, even if he loses.
He doesn't get embarrassed.
He's not done yet, you know. Right. A couple of them, you're done. So Xander Zayas.
What'd you think of Zayas?
I wrote you and said he was so gaunt.
Right. I didn't see the way.
I didn't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching, you know how sometimes Kellerman does the Max on Boxing like on weekends. And you know how sometimes it's a weigh-in? He like makes the weigh-in the show.
Okay.
I like had it on in the background and I like looked up a couple times and I'm like, who is that? You know, like, I guess it's a guy I don't know. One of the undercards. You know, and he was so gaunt, Zayas. So at 19 years old, you know, tall kid, probably a bigger frame. You see his back, you know, when he fills
in. He's a big kid.
Yeah, and at 19, he's going to go to 60 in no time. 60, he'll probably end up at 75. And that probably won't even be that long. I don't know how tall he is, though, which is a huge factor there, as you see with Canelo and guys historically that, you know, their body can fill out, but height, you start fighting these tall, rangy guys.
Right.
75 is, to me, 68 to 75 is a monstrous leap. And I don't mean, I don't mean the 7 pounds. I mean, you can fight a guy that's 6'3 at 75, and that's pretty rare at 68.
Right.
You know, you can run into a guy like me at 68.
I mean, those guys, most of those guys walk around at like 210.
Right.
You know what I mean? Over 200 pounds. They're big gentlemen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a guy who stays in shape walks around like 200 and has to cut the two
at least
the 25. Like, you know,
there's a couple of local 175 pounders that were contenders that I'm, you know, friendly with, and I'm not a small guy. I'm 6 foot, you know, I'm 6 foot 190 pounds, and these guys make, like, when you shake their hand, their fucking hands are massive. Their heads are big. Their shoulders are far
big
apart.
Big guys. Yeah.
These guys, they look like linebackers.
Yes.
You know, or tight ends.
It's the perfect description when you think of, like, a heavyweight would play, you know, offensive or defensive line. You know, this guy would play this, or this guy would play this. You
they
think
look
of
like linebackers or big safeties.
Yes.
You know, they're just big boys.
Big safety that hits hard. You know, fucking...
Lonnie
Rott.
Ronnie Lott, yeah.
Lonnie Rott, I used to call him.
Lonnie Rott.
Yeah. So, hey, look, did what he had to do, gets hit a lot.
A lot. So that was what I was going to comment on. He throws, like, these looping punches. He doesn't – and he kind of sets his feet a little too much in a wide stance, which doesn't give him a lot of room to escape. So throwing looping punches, and he's very offensive, right? So he's a front foot fighter, foot on the gas. Speaking of matchmaking, if they match him with a good counter puncher,
that can box and can move.
Can box and can move a little bit, but mark my words, a good counter puncher will be a little bit of his kryptonite if he doesn't tighten some of that stuff up.
I like that. I like that.
Hands are a little low. He also leaves his jab hand out a little too long. I mean, I'm kind of picking nits here, but it's just stuff I see.
I don't think you are, though, B. I think picking nits is when someone puts on a superb performance and we come in here and we're like, well, he could have. Right. I mean, bro, that fight got downright exciting at a few points.
Yeah. He gets hit.
Like that Elias.
He likes to fight.
Well, hey, look, B, we said before, look. Now, look, we can say things on the show that if we don't preface them with certain things, it can sound dangerous. But you and I have talked about guys like Chavez Sr., Gennady Golovkin, both of them in their prime. You know, one's retired in the Hall of Fame, one's older. Prime guys come forward, offensively minded, and their detractors will say, well, they got hit again. Look. There's certain levels of offensive fighters that know that, hey, this comes with the territory. I'll take a shot to land three or four big ones, you know? Then there's guys who are getting hit against subpar comp. They are two different things, guys. So don't say, well, you guys talk about guys who got hit before and some of them are your favorite fighters. That's true.
I mean, everybody gets hit. It's just like,
no, but there are guys that you and I love historically who are offensive marvels,
right?
And they get touched up, or that they might win a fight that wasn't too close, and you go, that guy's marked up a little bit,
right?
That guy touched up a little bit. I mean, Golovkin, at the end of the day, B, you saw a lot of stuff you didn't like, but at the end of the day, battered Murata. And he got touched up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But when we look back on that fight, that guy got battered, beaten into submission, and stopped for the first time ever. You know, like that's how it will be remembered. So I think when you look back at people who were rushed, the name that jumps out at me when it comes to like our era. By our era, I mean guys around our age, not our era, like what we watched. Right. I mean guys around our age. You got to look at Fernando Vargas.
I was just going to say, the Garcias were kind of green then.
And, so I don't see any reason
to rush Sanders' eyes.
Look, B, everything is there for this kid. Against this level of competition, it appears he can crack.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much longer he can. Look, you didn't see the weigh-in. If you did, you might go, Vin, you're bugging. You know how guys are. Look, Golovkin looks gaunt. He looked gaunt before the Murata fight, you know? And you don't even like that he's going to 68. I mean, yeah, guys can look gaunt.
I think you're right. I don't think he's long for 54. Right now they're gonna take advantage of the fact that he's gonna be a bigger guy at that weight.
I'd be shocked if he makes it to the next Puerto Rican Day Parade at 54. I'd be shocked because I saw him. He was actually crying.
Oh yeah, in June.
Yeah, because he couldn't fight, you know, at the Garden, and he's a really good kid. So what I wanted to say is, B, I think he's the first kid, right,
mm-hmm.
from the island
mm-hmm.
that's fluent.
He's raised that, in. He came to Florida.
He was 13
when he was so he, you know, he's
been here 6 years, bro. He's not fluent. Right. With an accent. The kid has a slight accent. So
in Puerto Rico, if you live in San Juan, you can go to English schools.
But this is a shift in culture that wasn't there for Trinidad.
Yeah, I agree.
Because when I told my...
Well, they're from Trinidad. They're from like Makoto's from like Caguas. You know what I mean? He's from like this middle of the island. Like if you go south of San Juan, yeah. And Trinidad was originally from Fajardo, and then they moved. So those are like that, you know. Then he moved to San Juan. So those are like Caguas is like it's a suburb of San Juan, right? So when you go there, like it's not much English speaking. I think Zayas is like he's like a middle class kid from the city. So listen, I think he went to like English school.
When I brought this up, because As much as we joke about the Bori Chin, both of us are super, super duper close to the Rican community. You know what I mean? And my guys, like, just ask me, like, when guys are fighting or, like, what's going on with Dada, you know? And I was like, yo, Zayas is fighting. This is before that fight.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, yeah, we're going to tune in. I talked to them the next day. My man was like, I fell asleep. What happened? I just sent him a clip of the knockout. He was impressed. You know what I mean? He was like, so what do you think? And I was like, here's my thoughts right now. Like, he gets hit, but that's not always a bad thing. If you look at someone like Arturo Gatti,
right?
East Coast guy, same thing. Multilingual. But I said to him, look, man, like those guys from the island that were beloved over here, like none of them spoke English. Goto did towards the end, But my man said to me, Paz, the culture over there is shifting, bro. Like mad people speak English now.
Yeah.
He's like, my family, when I go over there, don't none of them speak English. He's like, but like, right. As these generations like, change.
I had this supervisor when I was at NBC and she was from Puerto Rico. She's a little younger than us. And she had no accent whatsoever. And I couldn't believe that she was from Puerto Rico. And she said, well, I went to English school so that they teach us how to speak.
Yeah, I would say by the time Zayas is 21, you'll hear literally no accent.
Right.
If you're a regular Joe, you might not even notice it now, you know. Right. But it's very slight.
Right. Right.
But
right,
yo,
right.
He's bilingual. He's a good looking kid.
Yep.
It appears he can.
Sky's
punch.
The limit.
He's a sweetheart. Look, there's a lot of work to be done, but when you're this young, look, you said about knitting picks. I don't want to do that just yet because, look, man, it's our job to assess it.
Right. So I just think those are the things he's got to fine tune. He's got to tighten that stuff up. If he doesn't, I think he's going to run into some problems. And I think we may be introduced to the beard.
Now, those guys, when you talked about who could beat him, right? And meaning right now, the guy we saw this past weekend who could beat him, you're absolutely completely dead on. Someone who can move even a little bit, who counters, who can catch and shoot. But with the way he gets hit, you just keep him throwing him in there with goons, and this kid wants to stand in there and bang. I'm all in. You know, yeah. And I like him as a human being, which right. is always good.
He's got a little razzle dazzle too. Like when he scored, when he scored the knockdown, he said,
"I'm the fucking best." When he jumped up, yeah. "I'm the fucking best prospect in boxing. I'm the fucking best prospect in boxing." And it doesn't come off as arrogance when you sit down with the kid,
right?
When he's just this polite sweetheart, of a kid.
I don't. When they're all pumped up, you know, and they're all, as you like to say, all charged up.
Yeah, all riled up.
I take it with a grain of salt.
And that goes
for the post-fight interview too. Because you can't, I mean, if you've ever been in a fight, after the fight, you're like, these guys are in a fight.
Think about it. Every time you've knuckled up, imagine someone puts a mic in front of your face.
Right, and you're like,
like a mental patient.
Right, so anyway. I want to see him again. I hope we see him soon.
Yeah, me too. Keep him busy at 19. I mean, look, busy isn't what it was before when you had Tyson fighting 10, 12, 14 right. times a year. I got to see the kid 4 times a year.
Okay.
I got to see that. I got to see it 4 times a year. He absolutely has to fight one more time before this year ends.
Okay.
And then
I think so. You think they'll get him on a card like late fall?
They're talking Lomachenko. Look, Lomachenko just landed tonight that we're recording at LAX.
Oh, yeah?
They're announcing everything soon. It's going to be December.
All right. Excellent.
So we'll see about the opponent.
I was just going to say, you think they'll put him on a card in December?
How about that?
Little Christmas card?
On the card. Yeah, how about that?
I like it.
I'm on the undercard of Lomachenko. Different audience.
I was going to say something, but then I stopped myself because he's not with Top Rank anymore. I was going to say, well, this Crawford-Spence thing is about to happen. You know, it'd be nice to get him on that, but no, never mind. I want to see him again.
Me too. So let's
go, Xander Zayas. Keep him active.
And keep him in the gym. Let's work on that D a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
As far as you and I are concerned, maybe not work on that D so we can see some more exciting shit. But if you're at the corner, you want to tighten that up, get those hands up, keep them up. A lot of times, man, look, even if it's because he's going, this guy can't hurt me, I'm on another level, you develop bad habits with that mentality. I understand it. I get it. You know, there's hubris there. There's that Latino hubris. Like, I'm the man. I want to show y'all that I'm willing to fight. I'm not trying to get out of the way of, you know, going toe to toe. And I felt his power and he's not doing anything to me, but that's how bad habits get, are developed. Look, the reason we're here tonight is, as we said earlier, Tyson Fury relinquished the Ring Magazine belt. So while every belt, but the WBC was already at stake. If that wasn't enough for you guys out there, now the Ring lineal, this is the man that beat the man that beat the man without beating him because he retired. So if you take him out of the equation, this is the lineage of the heavyweight title and how it always was handed down, as we would say. The man who beat the man. Going back as far as Joe Louis, the guy who beat him and then the guy who beat him or retired, like no one beat Marciano for it. He retired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then this is how it happens. It's for all the marbles.
Yep.
Look, there's deep dives into a lot of this promotion, B, that we have the luxury of knowing a lot about. I don't even know if we discussed about what do we think about it being in Saudi. Neither guy is Arab. It's very hard to say no to the money that can be.
Yeah, I mean
to the purse. No one's outbidding.
These are two non-Americans, so this is not something we would be we should expect to see here.
We wouldn't be getting it here, but there would be 80,000 people at Wembley, 100,000 people, whatever it can hold.
Right. But again, I think what you brought up just a second ago, historically, fights, classic heavyweight fights, Thrill in Manila, Rumble in the Jungle. This isn't the first time we've seen neutral soil somewhere else.
Hasim Rahman, Lennox Lewis won.
Right. Where was that?
Africa, South Africa. Yeah.
Okay. With a controversial head of state, right? Financing
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are, right? Those guys have.
Well, you make a great point though. For us, we have people that listen that around the world, which we're lucky to have.
Thank you.
You know, so we're being selfish by being like it's not here, but you made a great point by being like, well, bro, it wouldn't be here anyway.
Right.
So we're not losing it.
No,
you know, it's to anybody.
Right, right, right. So this is two non-Americans. We have an Eastern European, Ukrainian guy, Ukraine, and a Brit. Okay, fighting for everything. The internet, as we spoke earlier, technology for us, for this sport, is beneficial and makes the world a lot smaller.
Yes.
So we now. No, AJ, we know Oleksandr Usyk. We followed them. We were able to stream their fights. We've been able to look up the countless archives on, you know, platforms like YouTube to analyze these guys, watch their amateur fights, watch their amateur fight. You know, it's fucking incredible what
Absolutely.
You can get your hands on now.
I mean, Usyk's run at Cruiser, we might not have seen, you and I, you know, in a certain era. I don't mean.
15, 20 years ago, we wouldn't have seen it. You would see highlights after he moved up. They would show grainy Eastern Euro highlights, you know, or European, you know, Euro boxing highlights. Formatted differently. And shout out to Great Britain, but your TV quality is trash. It just is.
Cheap.
It's second rate to ours. It really is. It is.
You guys aren't going to let that go. I want.
Sorry.
I want you to write in.
Hey,
KEOTB Boxing. Is that it?
Yeah. Glad you know the email.
KEOTB Boxing at Gmail. And talk to B about his horrible accent as AJ impersonation.
That wasn't an AJ. It was just, no, that was just a random South London.
A supporter of AJ.
Yeah, it was just a supporter. It wasn't my AJ.
We'll get that later on as we deep dive more.
Actually, I don't have one. I got to work on it.
So look, B.
I got to develop it. All right.
So really, is our stance on this? We have no problem with it.
I have no problem. Yeah. Why would I have a problem with it?
I have something to bring up. We have not discussed this. We discuss most things in our personal lives, and they end up on this show. Horribly promoted in the United States of America.
This?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know we got a lot of Aussies. I know we got guys in not just England, but the entire UK.
Who is Usyk's promoter? Is it Eddie?
Well, the way Eddie talks about AJ, I hope not. I'm trying to think, like, when Usyk was fighting in the Cruisers, who I was associating him with promotionally, and I can't think. Who does Elgis, like, run all those guys through? It was like...
Elgis Klimas?
Yeah. It was like...
No, but that's what I'm saying. So, like, this fight is just... It's not an American fight.
It's not. But what I'm saying is... B, we've talked on this show.
Dude, they didn't even know up until like last week what
who was going to air it.
Who's going to air it?
Literally days. It was like, oh, it's going to be
it's on DAZN, guys. For free. Right?
You do not have to pay the extra like
the Canelo tax.
With Canelo, and there's going to be another Canelo tax in a few more weeks against Golovkin, which
also been horribly promoted.
Secondly, B and I were going out of our way to commend how good of a job they were doing with that fight when it got announced, and then they just went It's gone.
Yeah,
they're throwing out first pitches. They're cutting promos.
I haven't heard shit about it.
I haven't heard. Look, Ugats, nada, zilch. Another poorly promoted fight. Guys, if you're not in Europe, Australia, in the Middle East, and you're listening to us, look, you got to be a boxing head to even know this is happening.
Right.
But B and I have explained to you guys who might have got into it later or might just don't go back and don't care much about, you know, pre-Tyson. You were once the most famous athlete in the world if you were the heavyweight champion of the world.
So for our fans, please write us in kotbboxing@gmail.com. If you are overseas, if you're in Great Britain,
Europe,
if you're in Eastern
Australia,
Europe, Australia, tell us how this is being promoted. Hey, if you're in the Middle East, tell us how this is being promoted. Are you seeing billboards? Are you seeing commercials? Are you seeing stuff leading up to this fight that is whetting your appetite, is getting you, you know, amped up for the fight? I mean, this
Jeddah,
fucking thing's going
Jeddah, down Jeddah,
on Saturday.
Where it's being held is completely abuzz. The whole, you know, the whole city is abuzz. But what is that saying globally?
Let us know, or, you know, just tweet us. You know, you guys know our or write us on Instagram, whatever. You guys know our handles. Let us know. I'm curious, you know, because I'm talking, I follow on Twitter most of the boxing pundits and writers and whatnot who don't block me already. So I really haven't seen much from them.
I guess, is this an instance of us being arrogant Americans?
Maybe. Or is it also a combination of a few things? This is like big vacation time in America. You know what I mean? Are guys taking a break? Is it? But I don't know. I just, you're right. If this was a domestic heavyweight, okay, Wilder Fury.
I was just going to go to that as an example.
Insane.
I was going to go
My
to
timeline
that.
Was filled with it.
How much of the fact that Usyk's English is not there, even though he's hilarious? Hilarious.
Yo, what's up with him carrying around an Eeyore? This is my little donkey right here.
I don't know.
This is my Anthony Joshua.
We're both big fans of his Batman.
He's my favorite boxer. Him and Cool Boy.
I was going to say, now don't go back on what you said on the air.
No, hang on. I think it boils down to hairstyles. And Usyk's got the front rat tail. Cool Boy's got the rear rat tail.
Usyk looks like the kid in Rugrats with the thing on its head.
Yeah.
But I'm not hip to that show enough to know the name.
I don't know the name either. But that is actually, I think that is a historical haircut for
like some warrior shit.
Yeah.
I'm yes. with that.
Yeah. And so, that's how the dude cuts his hair.
Look, I don't know how much, you know, obviously AJ is super articulate. You know, I've said on the show he's a likable guy, and people from over there have written me and said that I'm wrong. They've written me on Twitter
why is he unlikable?
I'm not sure. Another thing that people can tell, feel free to write us on Twitter.
Why is he unlikable?
I don't get it. But we're not
is
there.
Is it like certain stuff he did? Did he, like, you know, wear the wrong shirt, not support the you know, this cause?
If you put a gun to my head, yes, that's it. And right. We don't understand it because
we're
not
there. Did
he
fucking fart in the wind, you know, the wrong way, and everyone's fucking bent out of shape about it? I mean, when you reach that level, people talk about picking nits.
I know racism and Islamophobia reared its ugly head when he went with a friend to a masjid in London, and he got bombarded with hate mail.
Is he Muslim?
No. He's very interested in Islam. I can say that factually, that I know that. And he's very inquisitive about it. And I would not be surprised if things go down that route. And if they do, alhamdulillah for that. But as of right now, he is absolutely interested. And he was just at the masjid making salah, but he is not taking his shahada as of right now. You know, this isn't a friend of mine that I know well. He may while he's over
you
there.
Hang out with AJ?
No, but I know people who do.
You chop it up? Yeah, I know people who do too.
Yeah, yeah.
This fucking
guy. We know people who hang out with Usyk too.
This fucking guy.
This guy's baby's getting kisses by Usyk.
I'm telling you, when Joe Biden went over to Saudi, I know who got the interview.
Yeah.
Sat down with him and talking about sneakers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, guys, for whatever reason.
Shout out to that dude, by the way.
Yeah, big shout out.
He knows who he is.
Look, I don't know that we can. We're asking each other these questions and we're coming up with bupkis. Guys, for what it's worth, so you know, it's during the day on Saturday. Don't think it's at night and missing, because this is going to be good.
I'm gonna have to watch this on my cell phone.
Saudi is 7 hours ahead, guys. So
it's gonna be at 3 o'clock.
Plan accordingly. Then that night, there's two other cards too. So you got a whole Saturday into your Saturday night of boxing, high level stuff. You want to talk about this fight a little bit, B?
Let's do it.
Something that jumps out at me is how big Usyk looks comparatively. His muscle was
bench pressing tanks over there.
It's muscle. I never liked that.
I think he's going for a knockout.
I'm not a fan of guys who put on muscle mass. What do you think about that, B?
It's going to kill his stamina. It's going to kill his flexibility. It's going to kill his movement, but it'll increase his strength, right? So
that's the...
Is he going for the knockout? I'm going to go ahead and say he don't want this thing to go 12. He had to walk through fire the last time. Did you see what his face looked like after that fight?
Yes, I did.
Bruises. The man looked like he was in a fight.
That said, he hurt AJ a couple times.
So maybe he's falling in love with that. He wants to score a knockout, make a statement. He was talking greasy. They were talking greasy about each other, him and Tyson Fury, much like Billy, the producer here. Irish Billy talks greasy about me.
Mm-hmm.
To you.
Unprovoked.
To you behind my back. Mm-hmm. But thank you for sending me the screenshots.
Of course.
And like it. Salute.
I'm not gonna have it on my watch.
Anyway, so I think, Vinny, I think this guy's going to go for the fight's for all the marbles. I think Usyk's going to lay it on the line and go for a knockout. What do you think?
Let me ask you this. Do you think that Ring magazine, the lineal championship, 100 years plus of tradition being thrown into that pot, of these big, beautiful belts, sweetens that pot and gets these guys a little bit more horny this
win? Well, okay, so I was going to touch on that. So
I'm just curious.
The last time AJ lost, he came back and he stunk out a win, right?
Yes, he did.
Did what he had to do. He stunk out a win.
Yes.
So we know he can stink it out.
We know.
He can, and we know he doesn't have a problem with it. Even though, you know, everybody wants to see him score knockouts. He is a big puncher. But he has some stamina issues and he can stink it out if he needs to. Will he say, none of that bothers me, right? None of it bothers him. I'm here to win. I'm here to carry on my legacy. This will be a devastating loss if he loses to a recently former cruiserweight. If he gets knocked out, Vinny, by a fucking former cruiserweight. For all the belts on the big stage, they're getting $100 million a piece for this fight, by the way, in Saudi. Okay. You said before you don't see you. That's the ceiling for him if he loses this fight. He's not marketable anymore.
In the same breath, I said that I don't think there's a more forgiving sport. So right. I'm contradicting myself. I don't know that I'm right. I don't know that I'm right about
but
that.
But it's
pontificated.
You pontificated, right. So what I'm saying is, what I'm doing is, we're putting ourselves in AJ's brain right now, right? What if he says, what the fuck am I going to do after this? You know, I'm, will I get this Wilder fight even? You know, this is as must win as must win, right? I mean, every fight's a must win fight. I hate that term. Oh, it's a must win. It's a must win. Everything's a must win. But even though Usyk beat him the first time around, AJ still has a lot more to lose than Usyk just based on the fact that he was the established heavyweight.
I agree.
So Usyk is still like loosey-goosey going into this one and all the pressure's on AJ.
I agree with that as well. I want to talk about you talking about his decision to stink the joint out.
Right, against Lewis.
Look, Lennox Lewis could choose to stink it out, then stink it out. When I'm thinking specifically of Tua, like, right. Guys, you want to go, you need to be put to bed, watch Lennox Lewis, David Tua.
Right.
I'm trying to avoid this bomb hook that has knocked people's heads off before.
Right.
Whatever it takes. I do not believe that Anthony Joshua can make the conscious decision to stink it out and do that successfully against a guy this good.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a different style. So that's what I was going to jump on. So Ruiz, he was much bigger than, right? How do you stink it out against Usyk?
You don't. No.
No. He'll outstink you.
No. If he, first off, a huge part of stinking it out is jabbing a lot. Usyk's jab won him that first fight.
Right.
What he did off of it. I'm not saying he only jabbed.
Yes, yeah,
and stunk it out. He exchanged it. He got in there with the bigger, stronger guy and hurt him. That jab is beautiful. What is AJ going to do to neutralize that? Stinking it out, his jab is better. He's going to be eating a jab. Right. He will counter the jab with the jab.
I guess we'll just try and stay at range, not mix it up, not get into those exchanges. Can he do that? I don't think he can.
No, I don't think he either. You can't. Look, historically, it says you can't outbox the boxer. Historically, it says that.
So what does AJ do? Does he have to impose his will this time and try to knock him out? He hurt Usyk last time around, and
you can't forget that, like, this guy is big and strong as
and
fuck.
Good.
And good. You're talking about a gold medalist.
Right. Talking about a guy who beat Vlad. You know, and a guy who beat knocked out Dillian White, knocked out Vlad, came back in both fights for being hurt.
And guys, don't forget, he has two losses, and he avenged one of them in a lopsided victory and proved that, yes, it was a fluke.
Right.
By fluke, he got caught. I remember saying to you, I remember saying to you, something's wrong with this guy at that fight at the Garden.
Yeah.
Ruiz was a late replacement. It still wasn't his. Look, Lennox Lewis has those two bad L's, and he avenged them both. So he fought every guy he got into the ring with.
Right. Beat every guy he got. Yeah.
What did I say? He fought every guy he got into the ring with? Obviously he did. He beat every guy he ever fought. If AJ does that, like I said, most forgiving sport. I can't look that the jab and the angles.
Right.
And
I think the angles and the footwork are going to bother AJ more than anything. And I don't think you can stink it out with Usyk, whether he's got this, you know, level of bulk on or not, if that proves to be a mistake. You know, angles, footwork, gas tank.
They said this is a mistake when AJ went to Robert Garcia. And now that we are speaking out loud about this, maybe it wasn't. Because the only shot I think he has is what Robert Garcia is probably bringing to the table.
Well, let me ask you something. Where does something like that come from? Like that sort of statement? You know what I mean? Like, why? He was with the last guy and it didn't work. You know what I mean? So everybody at the end of that broadcast was saying he needed to make a change because the corner wasn't really helping him. So what's wrong with Robert Garcia? You tell me. I don't see a problem in seeking out another trainer. You have a good rapport with.
Yeah, nor do I.
You have a good comfort level with. Why? Because, and I said it on this show, because Garcia doesn't have any heavyweights?
No, because stylistically, Garcia is going to have him coming into the fire. Mm-hmm. We have to talk a little bit more about, do we think that this is important? And you and I have talked about Usyk looking like a monster, but we have not talked about this. And that is, did he put on weight or is he the same weight, just more shredded?
I don't know. Like I said, man, guy was at war.
We're going to see at the weigh-in and we're going to have numbers, numerically data.
So if he's like 10 pounds of pure muscle heavier.
Then I might have an issue with that. If he's the same weight and just shredded, then I might not. But I'm worried about, look, man, historically, unless you're talking about these freaks like Holyfield and Mike, who look like bodybuilders just being them, mm-hmm. I don't like muscular guys. I don't like muscular. I don't like guys that come in like body. But I thought it was part of Jeff Lacy's problem. Mm. The fluid, they lack fluidity. This is based on science. This isn't based on guesswork.
Right.
It creates.
You want to be built like a dancer, not, you know, not like a bodybuilder. That's the adage in boxing. You know, a dancer's body, like, and Ray Robinson was a dancer.
Yes. You look at the loss of fluidity when these guys bulk up. Look, we have so much time to go before the fight. And while we're recording, we're still days away from the weigh-in, seeing mm-hmm. them next to each other. And all of that, which we saw before, but we don't know what they're coming in at.
I'm interested to see too, man. But again, you know, Garcia's style, this, I mean, guys have different game plans for different fighters. So we'll see. I mean, again, who else was out there? You know,
look, he's going to want him to jab his way into the inside. And I think that's a bad place to be. I think that's a bad place to be. I do not think you want to be inside, or I don't think you want to be mid-range with this guy. Because look, you're saying
take the Lennox Lewis Vlad route, jab, jab, jab.
The difference with those guys be when they chose that route and they stunk it out, I think that won't work either. I think you have to fight from the outside, but be active from the outside,
right?
And constantly look, I want a double jab, a right hand and a left hook, get out of there and do it again.
Okay,
if I'm Robert Garcia, and I don't think that AJ
maybe he bulked
has
up
the stamina to do that.
Maybe he bulked up because he thinks maybe he's going to do the jab and grab and he wants to be strong enough to get out of there.
If that's the game plan, B, that's a bad game plan, because
they try to do that with the bigger guy to wear him out.
Look, that historically, that lean. Look, Fury does it successfully. He did it the Wilder.
Fury's so massive.
280 pounds leaning on you. Do you know what that does? I don't. I'll tell you though, Wilder does not have the boxing IQ to know how to get out of that situation.
Right, to negate.
You're talking about a guy who, if we look at the top 10, is there really anybody with an IQ there?
There is nobody smarter. See, Master of Accents, hit you with that Eastern Euro shit.
It's just brutal. That's
not bad. What are you talking about?
That was probably Ivan Drago at best.
It is. It's fucking best Usyk you ever heard in your fucking life. Eddie, I need more money, Eddie. Remember that promo we cut?
Yeah, I do.
It's fucking hilarious.
I'm very feel.
Why? I'm very feel.
I'm looking at our top 10.
Yeah.
He has the highest IQ. He has the highest in-ring IQ of our top 10. There's killers there.
He's a smart guy.
So he will not allow that. Brendan, he will not allow that. He will rip uppercuts.
All right.
If he leans on him, he will take half steps back, rip him with uppercuts. He will take half steps.
So you're saying AJ has to stay extremely active and throw 3 and 4 punch combinations, which is unusual for a heavyweight fit.
Correct.
And unusual for a heavyweight of this size and this build.
I'm looking at a guy who I think doesn't have a good chance at winning. So then I have
You've said that since the first fight.
Correct. I said if and when there's a rematch, I don't know what this guy can do. And this is pre-Robert Garcia.
Right.
I don't know that Robert Garcia has the temperament for the game plan that I'm putting forward, which is, look, man, when you hear a guy say, stay on the outside, don't fucking trade with this guy. Mm. In some of Lennox's outings, which he stunk the joint out, it is jab and grab or jab right hand, grab or jab right hand and get out of there.
Yeah.
That's the stink out the joint. There, he can't win doing that because this guy will counter him.
Mm.
He has to stay active enough where the counter. Look,
yeah, he has to be. So he has to be first, but he also has to be last. Is what you're trying to say.
You have to be first and last because if you're not, this guy's going to counter.
Right. Okay.
And I don't know how you. First off, as a heavyweight. Throwing 4 punch combinations is what I think is key. And that's 2 jabs, a right hand, and a left hook. At very least, a double jab and a right hand behind it.
I think that's more along the lines of what you're going to see.
Well, if he doesn't
up and down 6'6" fighter, and you're going to see double jab right.
And hey, that's not enough because he's going to put double jab right cross. And Usyk's going to either slip them.
From the southpaw stance.
Because he already said he had a nightmare with him being a southpaw.
Right.
He's going to slip those shots and he's going to counter with a straight left right up the middle, which was landing last time.
Right.
How is he going to avoid that shot? He's going to come off the right hand.
He's going to have to throw that shot from the back stance.
He's going to parry that right hand. Usyk is going to parry that right hand and come right down the pike with a left counter. If he doesn't come with a left hook behind that right hand, if he doesn't come with the 3 behind that 2,
I'm trying to think what he could do. As a taller fighter, he could try to jab over Usyk's lead hand. He can try to hook on top of Usyk's lead hand.
Sure.
And he can move towards his left with his left foot outside of Usyk's right foot to try to land that right, his own right hand. So it's going to be a lot for him to be thinking about, which is exhausting.
Look, and hey, man, not for nothing.
And he lost.
Look, you're going to be moving to his left to avoid that straight left that he was getting strafed with last time.
Right.
And then this
he's going to have to throw that his straight right. I hope that's what he's been working on of his own.
I think he is
the bigger puncher. So he's going to have to throw that straight right to land that right hand of his own in order to be more effective. And I think he does that by circling to his left. Okay.
I think if he doesn't come behind that B, what you want him to do with something else, he's going to start getting timed. If he does what you're saying and it's working, okay, he's doubling on the jab and throwing that right hand, nice crisp right hand down the middle. Third, fourth round. He's gonna start picking that off.
Well, he'll have to put he can't just keep doing that. He'll have to mix in feints. You know what I mean? He'll have to, you know, again though, look, You start getting hit by fucking AJ for three rounds by that. We're talking. It's a different ballgame. I'm not saying he's going to be able to do it. That's a lot to ask.
Yeah, I'm.
It's
saying
a lot to ask.
It is. What I'm saying is
I don't think that's what AJ is going to do. I'm saying I'm putting my trainer hat on. That's what I'm working on.
So am I. I'm working on putting that left hook behind it. Because now you're giving him
left. I would try to put a left hook to the body. I'd also throw the right hand to the body and mix it up. Vary the levels, vary the speeds. Again, this is a lot to think about. It's a lot to think about.
When we're putting our trainer caps on and giving him this, it's a lot, man.
Right.
Now
you have to reel Usyk in from the other side, right? Usyk's now flying high. I beat this guy. You know what I mean? It wasn't easy, but I won convincingly. The rematch should be easier. I know what I have to do. I've cracked the code. I would be reeling him in, if I'm his trainer. Don't be too confident. You can still get caught. This is the heavyweight division. I think it's his third fight at this weight. Right? He fought Chisora and then AJ, right? And he didn't look spectacular against Chisora. He got hit a lot.
He did.
If you get hit a lot by a guy like AJ, who's a world-class heavyweight puncher, it's you're not in for a long night. I don't give a fuck who you are. I don't care if you're fucking the Terminator. So I'd be trying to reel him in and then do a lot of what you're talking about. Disruptive shit. Stay being a pest like he was in the first fight, right? In and out. Setting up my heavier shots in the later rounds with just touch and go in the first few rounds, okay? I'd like to see him stay light on his feet. Again, like you said, employ that straight left. I'd also like to see him up jab. He has a beautiful up jab against guys who are bigger fighters. He has a beautiful jab, a shotgun jab, which is also as an up jab off of his back foot, which functions as a power punch. So if he gets AJ on his heels, right, with that jab,
that's no good.
No good, because AJ lights goes out. Straight back. He doesn't move laterally well.
No.
And he stays on center line. What Usyk needs to do himself defensively is to stay responsible and himself stay off center line. Because if he stays within AJ's crosshairs, it's going to be a short night for Usyk. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Because this motherfucker can punch and he's big, and it won't be a good look for any smaller guy. I don't give a fuck who you are. So there's a lot to think about here.
I like Usyk staying offline, a half step to his right, mm-hmm. up jab, which you said is borderline a power shot.
Right.
The jab is beautiful. The jab won him the first fight. Right. I like him sticking that straight left to the belly too.
Right.
Because so, you're talking about, you're gets talking about, down. Yes, yes. Open up the up top mm-hmm. for combinations because his hands are faster than AJ. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You spoke about something which was moving levels. What you want from AJ is what I think Usyk's gonna do.
Is right.
changing levels and speeds on those shots. You were talking about being a pest in those first few rounds. He's a pest. He throws that jab. He pokes it.
Right.
Then he starts. So he's. It looks like it's a range finder. He's popping that right. You know. He's a southpaw. He's popping the right hand for range. You're like, that's his jab. Then it starts hitting you like a boulder. Then he's offline. So the left, straight left comes from an angle. He's clipping you almost from the side.
Mm-hmm.
How do you?
He bends at the waist nicely and then throws it like an overhand left too. He goes rooftop with it.
He loops it a little bit.
Yeah. It's a really good, accurate shot.
But he can throw it straight too to the belly.
And again, if he gets AJ on his heels, moving backwards in a straight line, he's going to put his foot on the gas. And we're going to text each other if this guy's moving back on any level.
We're going to be texting each other. This fight's over.
I'm going to tell you what happens. If that is the case and AJ begins getting defensively irresponsible and moving backwards in a straight line, two things have now happened. The first thing is his confidence is shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the second thing is he's hurt by these shots and he's forgetting, he's abandoning all defensive responsibilities, either hurt mentally, physically, both, and confused. And I think it ends within the 12 rounds if that's the case. I think this is going to be fun to watch from that perspective. And again, like you pointed out, what weight does Usyk come in at? What weight does AJ come in at? Has AJ slimmed down a little bit? Has Usyk bulked up a little bit? Are we now seeing two guys closer in weight, right, than we did in the first fight? I think all these things are interesting and fun. This is the fun part of talking about a fight. Right now, guys, it's Tuesday for us going into Wednesday. We record these at night. So for us, this is great. Beginning, like kind of middle week. Where is everybody? What are they?
Yep.
What do they look
yep.
like? This is the most fun thing about the sport, to do this for me. And I think I speak for Vinny as well.
You do.
So I think we got a lot to think about here. I think, again, the factor that isn't the non-in-ring factor to me is the mental factor here.
Well, let me, can I,
all
can
the pressures
I throw
on
back
AJ.
To something you said?
Sure.
You use loosey-goosey. I can't think of a guy historically more loose than this kid.
Dude, this guy's having fun.
He loves where he's at in
this
life.
Guy's having fun.
As a fighter, he makes this guy enjoys life.
Right. He's got a great sense of humor. Doesn't take himself too seriously, it appears. Obviously, he comes in shape. He comes fit. But there's plenty of, like, on my phone, if I look up the GIF finder that I have, if you put in Usyk, it's just a million videos of him mugging for the camera, dancing, having fun. I'm jealous that he's not American.
Did you see the footage of him, like, obviously, like, you know, we've seen him dance a little. Did you see the footage of him, like, full on dancing?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, you know, it's not hard to see where that footwork comes from.
Right, right. He's so this promotion, that did you notice today he's carrying around an Eeyore doll?
Yes. I mean, what's going on, man?
Like a plush stuffed animal. Like
what is happening?
Like that, like the joint you buy at like the fucking airport because your kid is screaming.
Yes.
He's carrying an Eeyore around and petting it.
Yes.
And like snuggling it like my daughter does, like with her own Eeyore.
Have you heard enough from Anthony Joshua in this promotion, or should we say lack thereof?
I haven't heard shit from him.
So we don't know where his head is at. We know, look, we don't have to even have an interpreter of Usyk to know where this guy's head is at when you see him laughing, dancing at the airport. We have someone
kissing babies
very close to us. We saw him joking around with with him. That's not to say that AJ being completely serious isn't great. He
could be Rocky IV in it right now.
I'm here to get
he could be on a mountain going, Usyk!
He could be. He could have chopped. We don't know what he was doing.
Is he chopping wood?
With Robert Garcia, because I didn't see much of it.
Is he squatting his wife and his drunk brother-in-law?
Is he running
up mountains in boots?
Up mountains carrying someone like Kurt Angle when he was training for the Olympics.
Right.
For the 96 Olympics, which he literally did. He would put someone on his shoulders and run up hills in Pittsburgh. Nice. With all of this said, it's like they haven't given us much.
No.
Half of that is we blame the promotion, and half of that is, hey, even someone like, I haven't seen any sparring sessions at the Garcia Boxing Academy. Nothing. And that could be by design.
Yep.
But I'm going to go out on a limb here, man. I think he's got to clip him,
AJ,
and hurt him and stop him to win.
I agree.
I'm almost saying
Dude, we're not going to disagree. I don't think we're going to disagree too much on the breakdown of this. I 100% agree with you. AJ's got to stop him to win.
But I do want to say this first. I believe that when you're fighting at a high level, that there aren't lucky punches. I'm not saying there aren't lucky punches in boxing.
Right.
I believe that Gabe Rosado, Beck Bully, was a perfect shot, but he caught a young kid slipping because he was so in his head. Beck Bully was like, I'm so much better than this guy. I don't got to watch out for the shot.
Right. Okay.
I don't believe that. I do believe that Marquez was setting up Pacquiao for that right hand.
He was
in their fourth fight.
Just like Sergio Martinez was setting up Paul Williams. He threw the shot 9 times.
Yes.
Round.
Yes.
If you watch that the Marquez Pacquiao fight, Marquez tried to land that shot 2 or 3 other times, and then he watched for Pacquiao to stutter, time to stutter, and clipped him.
If they see something that you and I don't, which is their job because we don't get paid 10% of $100 million. I mean, Garcia can be done after this.
Right.
You know, he's probably getting $10 million, literally.
Right. Right.
We don't get paid that. So if he sees something,
we should. For this show.
Agreed.
Fucking Billy's supposed to work on sponsorship. Doesn't do that either.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't do anything.
I'm trying to drive a fucking McLaren around here.
Agreed.
At least the fucking thing. I can't even put gas in it. Thought this show was going to get me fucking McLaren money.
Now listen, I'm
living in a box.
If they're not practicing a specific shot or combo slash shot, this is going to go one of two ways. He's going to get busted up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shown his mettle, Brendan, a couple times.
AJ?
Yes.
Yeah. Because, he's a tough motherfucker. He's got
But hurt. I'm just saying, bro, good-looking kid, well-spoken, Olympian, star. When you get that, people forget about things like metal and toughness and say, fuck him. He da, 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 da.
He's a pretty boy, et cetera.
He's a pretty boy and all of that. Hey, maybe he is. He's a tough pretty boy.
Sure he is.
Are we going on to picks? Or you want to talk about a little bit more?
I think we should go on to picks. I think we gave a pretty astute breakdown.
So before you give your pick, I want to say that if Robert Garcia sees something that we don't, and this knockout comes, and he said we were working on that shot in the gym, we saw something the first time around. If that is not happening, I'm going to leave that, and then I'm going to let you make your prediction for Anthony Joshua,
referee,
Alexander Usyk.
Referee or corner stoppage, 9th or 10th round in favor of the current champion, Alexander Usyk. That's how I see this. He's going to stop him in the 9th or 10th round.
In the 10th? Or 11th.
Oh.
I don't, for obvious reasons, I don't know much about the commission over there. Will there be a 3 knockdown rule? I believe in the 10th or 11th, he drops him 3 times and it stopped.
Pezzy picks.
The 10th or 11th round.
Vince, this is some Vince Radamus shit.
He clips him.
Oh, we're getting that specific? All right.
He stops. He drops him and hurts him bad with that beautiful left hand. Early in the 10th or 11th, he gets up. He's not composed, but he gets up, covers up, stops him again, drops him again, gets up again. Finishes the show. Becomes the man.
That's it. Legend.
He's the man. I
cements
am
a Hall of Fame career.
Cements a Hall of Fame career. Ring Magazine, IBF, WBA, WBO. The only thing floating out there
is Fury's
WBC that he is holding hostage for.
Which fuck the WBC, by the way.
Fuck them. It's always been fuck them. If I'm keeping it a rack to our list.
Suleiman is a fucking.
His father. Yeah, when his father passed, I said, hey, maybe his son can do right by this.
No.
You know? You know, like, you know what they have
the best looking belt. That's the thing. You know what it is? The best looking belt.
To me, the ring is the best looking belt. It always will be, but it's not a sanctioned belt. You know, it's
that's because you're from Philadelphia and it's the Rocky belt.
How dare you?
It's true. If I was from Philadelphia, it would be my favorite belt.
It's not the Rocky belt. It's the Ring Magazine real belt.
Look at his fucking jaw. This is very
cheap.
Look at all the fucking this thing's fucking sick, dude.
This is very cheap. You can't say Pamela correct. Pamela?
I don't put an R on the end of my shit. I told you I had my social studies teacher in high school say Asia and Africa.
Yeah, Asia and Africa. Because you fucking dimwits on that island.
Listen, don't you blaspheme on this show.
Don't you blaspheme me. Final picks are Brendan, corner or ref in 9 or 10?
Yes.
Vinny, 10th or 11th? A stoppage. This guy just...
You're saying corner ref or an actual knockout?
I'm saying he
three.
Yeah, is there a three knockdown rule?
Right.
If there's not in look, hey, there's places with sanctioning bodies or commissions where there isn't a three knockdown rule.
Okay.
And a good ref will still stop it, even though it's not there. They have to all be little flash knockdowns and you pop right back up and the refs can vent you totally fine. If not, those guys, it's going to be three knockdowns, you know, or the second one, you pop up, give me your gloves. Are you okay? And you're on Queer Street.
I wonder what the consensus, media consensus and pundit consensus, how they'll line up with us.
I'm curious.
This just came to me. Part of the lack of promotion is because I think people aren't confident in AJ winning. Like, I don't think like we're going out on a limb with our picks here.
We might be. I don't know. Bro, this is one time where you've said it multiple times with your Twitter feed. It's not that I haven't checked the temperature because I'm not interested. There's no temperature to check.
Right. But I'm saying like typically if they felt like it was a fluke the first time, right? You would see a buzz like, all right, AJ's going to get the strap back. You know what I mean? It's not Rahman Lewis, right? It's not Rahman Lewis McCall, right? We always cite Lennox Lewis in because it's just two big upsets. But it's not that vibe. It's like, AJ's, you know, getting the rematch. But, you know, weren't people calling for Usyk? I mean, I know we were to fight Fury instead of an AJ rematch. They were telling them, don't take the rematch.
Yes.
You're not going to win. So I think that's part of the lack of the buzz from the media, Vin. I don't think that they think this is going to be close. I don't think that they think this is going to be a competitive fight.
I'm quoting someone.
What are the odds? Do you know what the odds are?
I can look the lineup, but I want to tell you something. Okay. I'm quoting someone from Matchroom Boxing.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait till he knocks this motherfucker out, meaning AJ knocking out Usyk.
Okay.
That's how confident someone is. And it's not Eddie.
At Matchroom.
It's not Eddie that said this.
Okay.
In a meeting with all, you know, people involved with the entire promotion.
Right. Okay.
Just in discussion, you know, not.
Tell me off air.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta
keep some things mysterious, guys. All right. We can't tell you everything we know. Part of that is because I don't know. He knows.
I'm trying to find the line. So Usyk is minus 200. Joshua is plus 170. It's close, guys.
Close.
For you guys, for those that don't understand what that means, is you have to bet $200 to win 100.
To win 100.
If you're betting on Usyk. If you bet $100 on AJ, you'll win 170. If that makes it any you know, easier for you guys. Once again, just a really lackluster undercard. We're not gonna touch it. We're not even gonna give it not gonna give it burn, but we will say that it's not good because we have to.
It stinks. Remember that John Lovitz fucking the critic.
So look, guys, there's other fights that night with Emmanuel Navarrete is fighting.
He's fun.
Real fun. Very tough. Again, this is after. You got a whole night of boxing. The Showtime card, we spoke about Broner pulling out. Hey, yo. We spoke about Lipinets stepping in. I like Lipinets Figueroa better than I like Broner Figueroa. No sweat off my back or B's. Navarrete, exciting, throws tons of punches, awkward. He gets by this guy. They're going to set up a big fight there.
Yeah.
You know, these are fights we would typically go more in depth on. But because the heavyweight championship of the world, guys, remember, this guy used to walk around. This guy was the equivalent of Jordan. This guy was the equivalent of LeBron now. The equivalent of Tom Brady now, but globally.
Now we we can't even get a real promotion.
We can't get a real promotion. And after this guy wins, unless it's a draw, of course, people still won't know who the heavyweight champion of the world is.
They'll still say Mike Tyson.
Guys, check this out. Monday after this fight, when you guys go to work, talk to like the guy who works next to you and ask him who the heavyweight championship of the world is. Just if you want to have some fun, guys. Not your boxing friend.
And you know what? Yeah. And do us a favor. Write us in at KEOTBboxing@gmail.com, and we'll read the responses.
We will.
Because I think it'll be fucking hilarious.
Not to be heavy-handed with it, but just real quick before we go, our picks again. You like a ref or corner stoppage in the 9th or 10th.
Mm-hmm.
I think 10th or 11th, he knocks him down multiple times and it's stopped by whoever. That's usually the ref, but the corner could, you know, you know, whatever you want to call that, you know.
So we're close.
We're very close. We're very close. I think I was really close with my seventh. Teofimo Lopez in the seventh was what happened. I said the sixth. I'm happy with that. I like Navarrete to win by stoppage. And I think Sergey Lipinets.
I think Lipinets is going to win.
Figueroa is going to be fun. And if Lipinets is not shot, I think he wins that.
I think he wins that too.
And that's hard for Figueroa. I don't know how much we see.
He likes to get hit. He never met a punch he didn't like.
He didn't. I think we might have a fun fight there.
Yeah, he headbutts the shit out of people's fists. I mean, he that boy has terrible defense. So
it wasn't that long ago that he was like a hot prospect.
I was ringside when he pummeled Robert Garcia.
Well, look,
what's his face?
Guerrero. Ricky Burns, Antonio DeMarco, Robert Guerrero, John Molina. It was a nice little run. And people were horny for him. Then he ran into Ugas, who's a tough guy, and he put on a clinic, Ugas. And then that Abel Ramos loss was, I believe it was stopped because of a cut. And then it went to like a wonky decision, I believe, is how that was stopped. So you can't really count that for him or against him. That, you know.
And then he had some issues with weight. And again, what we mentioned before, he was struggling mentally. He said, I'm interested. I'm rooting for him in life. I just don't think he wins this fight.
Guys, it's going to be fun. And yeah. Navarrete is fun too. I like him to stop by stoppage by seventh or eighth round, and I'm just ready for a fun fight to wrap up this Saturday with Lipnets and Figueroa. Has Irish Billy's voice ever been heard on air? We abuse him.
Yeah, he's been heard on air.
He has on air.
Is he alive right now?
I don't know.
Oh, look, he's got a little background.
Look, hello, gentlemen.
Background.
What's up, Billy?
That Wi-Fi is terrible. He sounds terrible as usual.
Untrue.
This is an audio video guy too, and he sounds.
Yeah,
guys. I need a fancy pair of headsets like you guys.
You do. We're gonna bring Billy in for the mailbag moving forward.
I think that's a good. It'll be a good addition to the show.
Unless he hates it.
He's got a great personality, kids.
He does. He does.
And, we'll see what the fans think.
Irish Billy, for all our guys, jokes, is one of the best people in the world and one of the funnest people to be around. The guy lights up a room and we torture him.
I think we're going to start dating him.
We hope you guys know we forget how evil our East Coast sense of humor is.
Right.
And that it doesn't translate.
I just tweeted his address and a list of his fears. So,
okay.
You guys pay him a visit.
No, B, I told you this before, like, you know, however many years and years and years back when I first started like touring heavy and seeing how appalling our sense of humor is to people who aren't over here. And just like the room goes quiet, you know, and I'm not talking countries. I'm talking within
the States. Oh, within the States. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So I have to, you know, Billy's one of my favorite people on the planet, and my life's better for having him in it. But
look at this guy.
I'm blushing over here.
He's cutting love promos.
Hey, no, I'll tell you what just came up before we start. Figueroa Jr.'s nickname is Pantarita. So he's like calling himself like a baby panther.
Baby panther, yeah.
I'm not happy with that nickname at all. Just go with Pantara, you know, and just be a panther.
Pantarita.
Yeah. Like, is he calling himself cute?
He's a little house cat.
Yeah, like I would pet a little panther. I don't know if it would bite me.
It'd fucking scratch your eyeballs out. Maybe that's what he's going for.
I think I like that one.
You're a fan of Pantarita?
I am.
All right. Irish Billy, do we have mail?
We do, and we're just going to dip our toes into the mailbag tonight to keep this moving.
Yeah,
so this first one is a little fishy, but I'm going to
By the way, Billy's calling into the show from Saudi.
He's calling in from the Mars rover.
Right.
Okay, like. This first one is from Walter Sobchak.
Do you know who this is? Do you know who this is?
That's why I said this one's a little fishy.
But we'll
I see.
I thought you meant fishy, like this guy might not know boxing. I was like, okay. This Walter Sobchak. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Hello, fellas. First time, long time. My name is.
the best is it's not his first time.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it his first time as Walter Sobchak?
No, he's written in as this before.
That's even better. My name is
Derek from Texas, and
that's inside baseball.
And I was hoping you could rate these defensive fighters, one being the best: Pernell Whitaker, Floyd Mayweather, Nicolino
Loche. Yeah.
Willie Pep and James Toney at middleweight. Thanks in advance. Also, sorry to hear Correct is banned for life. Seems like a fine chap. Anyway, this is Derek from Texas, and thanks for reading my question.
Willie Pep, number one. Nicolino Loche, two.
Oh, Sweet so
Pea.
We just Sweet... give Derek from Texas a Hartford shout out. All right.
Sweet Pea. Willie Pep, one. Nicolino Loche, two. Sweet Pea, three.
Floyd four.
James Toney at middle at four. Floyd at five. Please give yours.
Okay. I'm going to go Will-O-Wisp from Middletown, Connecticut.
That's Willie Pep.
For our friend Derek from Texas.
The Paisan.
Derek from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, likes Willie Pep from Connecticut. I wonder why.
I wonder why.
Yeah. I'll say Purnell, Loche, Floyd, James.
Okay.
Thanks, Derek from Texas.
Thanks, Derek from Texas, aka Warner Subcheck.
Who likes Connecticut?
Who likes Connecticut and is a big fan of Derek from Texas.
All right, our next one is from Joseph Latterner. Peace, fellas. As always, keep up the great work. I appreciate you guys responding to my last question about a possible Canelo better BF matchup if he were to beat Bivol, but the fates did not align for Saul, and it probably didn't require the Bivol loss or the great Joe Smith destruction to determine that Artur would be too much for him, though it would be an entertaining matchup. I often hear boxing and the analysts, like you two included, talk about good or great or talented boxers versus special boxers. For instance, I've heard Paz regard Shakur as a talented but not quite special, but Boots and Cool Boy Steph as special. What is it that puts a boxer into this special category? I know Rolly is special, but that's an entirely different thing.
Hey, guys, there's something in that I've always talked about in music. It's called the it factor. And when someone asks me about it, I'm incapable of explaining what it is because you just see it there.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a rapper. Well, it is his voice. Is it his lyrics? Is it his ability to pick good beats? It transcends all of these things, and they just are. And
okay, let me hop in here with the
please
rap
do
because the best example would be there's 9 million members of Wu-Tang, and they gave Method Man his own song on the first record. You know what I mean? The it factor. Yeah,
yes,
was
I
there.
Do. Yes, I do.
And he was in movies and TV shows, and you know what I mean? That I think that. But why was he the best rapper in the group? I don't know.
And There's dot. We know how many Wu-Tang fans there are. They sold 40 million records.
Right.
Let's ask Billy. Is Meth your favorite Wu member?
I feel like the easy answer is yes. But
you thought about it, so it means there are definitely other. There's definitely dudes who will go. No. It's Ghostface.
Right.
But Ghostface is special too.
He's got the it.
Why can Ghost say the most nonsensical shit ever? And you're like, that song's incredible. And why could some goofball say some nonsensical shit and you go, that guy's corny?
Right.
So what's this guy's name, Billy?
This was Joe Latter.
Joe. So what I'm getting at is, why can Go say some nonsensical shit and sound incredible and be in someone's top 5 or 10, and some schmohawk says something nonsensical and you're like, I get this off my stereo.
Right.
There's something about that person that rises above all of these things that are tangible, that you can touch, and things you can touch and base in some sort of data or statistical things or numbers, or this guy has this many wins, or this guy has this many L's, or this guy has this many knockouts. Why? What is that there? I personally call it the it factor, and I apply it to boxing, and I call it special. I don't call it the it factor in boxing because I usually reserve it for entertainers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? By that, I mean film and music. Not that fighters
Are like
entertainers. They are.
SNL is also a great example. You know what I mean? You'll have guys that break out. You know what I mean? Like Will Ferrell or Chris Farley.
Great thing to bring up. Cast members, hundreds over the years.
How many people you never heard from again?
Yes, and how many of them?
The very few that it boils down that you know. So for boxing, I agree with you. The it factor, it's an eye test. It's an imaginary box check, so to speak. You know, you just see a guy, you go, holy shit, just like that. If you see a guy, and the first time I saw Boots fight, I went, holy shit, just like that. You know.
And then B, that's first impression, holy shit. Then talk about guys why is Roberto Duran special?
Because every time I saw him, other than his losses, I went, even during his losses, holy shit.
Holy
I can't believe he lost like that. You know, I can't believe Hearns flatlined him. I can't believe he quit against Leonard. But then again, I can't believe he came back and clawed his way back to, you know, being in the conversation and then to being world champion.
I ran Barkley, weights right. up. It's amazing. I hope we're making some sense.
I hope so, Joe.
It is hard to articulate, and I've been asked to articulate it before when I talked about musicians or right. films. Why is this actor special? Why is this album special? I can't pinpoint it. What is it? You go. There's intangibles.
Right. Yeah. Okay. We don't have to. That should be another. That could be a whole nother topic on a different.
Yeah. But Joe, if we didn't answer.
That would be fun. Actually,
Joe, if we created more questions than answers, feel free to write in more about that topic. If we didn't answer.
Thanks for the letter.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right, this last one here is not so much a question, but a comment that you guys can follow up with your own thoughts on. This is from Brent Lewis. He says, I'm Australian, and I think Camboso should be fighting for stray dogs. Please, Haney, shut this fucker's mouth. Love the pod, Paz and B.
Hey, thank you for listening, man.
I made a stray dog comment. That's what Tyson Fury was going to pay Derek Chisora for the trilogy. Yeah. I'd rather not see him fight again.
My biggest issue is the date that he's taking up and the fight that could be made.
Right. Right.
You know,
right. I concur.
It's like, you know, respect to him for showing up in shape against Lopez, doing what he did. Winning in, you know, hostile territory, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He was thoroughly outclassed.
Yeah.
He didn't win a round. He's going to get thoroughly outclassed again. If Haney has any bit of killer instinct in him, he's going to get him out of there.
I hope he does.
I don't know that Haney does. He could just do it again. But you're absolutely right, Brent. But more so because he's holding up a fall date that could have been against Lomachenko and the fight we all won against two stars and two real top guys. So I'm with you, Brent. You know, if he hangs around the division or whatever, I'm not mad at that. He's not old. And if he wants to fight, it can give some fun fights for you guys, especially, you know, Aussie fight fans. He is a douchebag for whatever that's worth.
Certainly.
Billy, so KEOTBboxing@gmail.com. That's where they can write us. We read the level of mail in accordance to how busy the show was. And this is obviously the Usyk, Usyk Joshua 2 for the whole Marvel. So we talked a lot about it. On shows where there's less to talk about, we can do more mailbag, you know? Mm-hmm. So write in, guys. Billy, before we get out of here, do you want to give out your social media or it's more personal family type stuff?
I don't think I've tweeted in like 6 years, but Plywood_bullet. Maybe you guys can get me back into the tweeting world.
Okay.
All right. Write them. Follow them.
Plywood_bullet. Do you still go on there even though you haven't tweeted? Do you still go on there?
Yeah, I'm on there all the time.
He's very violent with that name.
It's similar to, we have violent Philadelphia names on this show.
Well, Plywood Bullet was based off of a nickname for my body surfing abilities, so it's not actually violent.
The kid is a professional. Guys, I don't know if you knew this. He's a professional body surfer.
They called me the Plywood Bullet the way I cut through those waves.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Guys, we're going to get that merch together, like we said in our previous episodes.
Yeah.
If you're too small or too fat, you're shit out of luck. We're going to do some L's and XL's.
That's it.
And that's going to be that. I'm going to get Shane on it actually when we get off this Zoom call. B, give him your social media where to hit you up.
Twitter is @TheKillerB24.
It's very violent. Very violent.
A little violent. I killed a bee right before this show.
Good.
For my wife.
I did. It was pre-recording. I was on air with him.
Yeah, I killed a bee. So he, Billy asked me if that's where the name comes from, and it does.
It comes from being a bee killer.
I'm a bee killer. That's what I do. And
give you a stupid Instagram.
It's not violent. My non-violent passive Instagram is at @I_no_that_kid. And you can see pictures of my miserable kid on there or pictures of this podcast.
Me on Twitter @Vinny_Paz. Me on Instagram, BoxCutterPazzy. JMTstore.com. I have a new mixtape out, new album this fall. We have a lot of new merch. And part of that new merch will be KEOTB shirts coming soon. We'll let you know on the pod.
L and XL, that's it.
For Irish Billy, for Brendan Long, my name is Vinny Paz. We will catch y'all. Are we coming back next week or we don't know? Yeah, lots of fights coming up, guys. All right. See y'all soon. Enjoy the weekend. Big fights all day Saturday. Enjoy.
Peace, y'all.
Knock 'em out the box, pass. Knock 'em out. Knock 'em out the box, B. Knock